Well, the following proclamation was made by then-Governor Bradford in 1623, just 3 years after the pilgrims settled at Plymouth. It reads this way: "To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squash, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house and on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings." Of course, the first Thanksgiving Day proclamation. And if you think about just the content of that and how the pilgrims were so much thankful to God for all that he's blessed us with, it's hard for us to not be able to give thanks. Of course, you know, again, you know, this Thursday is Thanksgiving Day by a different proclamation. It's a day in which we, like those early pilgrims, in very much the same way, set aside time in, I don't know, our busy schedules to give thanks to God. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, having a day set aside to thanks God. But of course, the Word of God tells us that giving thanks should be a continual daily attitude and not just something on one day. Take, for example, our scripture reading from Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. There the Christians again were told to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord always. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I look at that and think, wow, give thanks always. Always give thanks. And can you do that, you know? Is that possible? Well, the short answer is yes, you can give thanks. The slightly longer answer and the basis of our sermon today comes from Psalm 100. Over in Psalm 100, we can see five characteristics of thankful people. And the first characteristic is that thankful people express it. And if you're not already trying to turn over to Psalm 100, go ahead and do that if you'd like to follow along. It's a short psalm. It's only five verses. Let's read the first two verses. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2 says, "Shout for the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." Now, from these first two verses, we can see that the thankful worship the Lord with gladness and in joyful singing, very much like, you know, Esther is doing right now, okay? In other words, those who are thankful for what God has done worship him with a smile on their face and excitement in their hearts. And we're not just talking about, of course, the assembly on Sundays. Anywhere along the course of the day, you know, that people are mindful of what the Lord has done and their heart warms and they find themselves smiling away is a time to be thankful. They even might say, hey, praise God, or joyfully shout out hallelujah whenever something happens that they know came from the Lord. We also see that the thankful are joyfully singing to the Lord. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're riding in the car or you're at work or you're at home, but all of a sudden you find yourself breaking into songs of praise. Think about it this way. When we're really thankful for something, you know, we find ourselves getting, you know, pretty excited about it, you know? You know, maybe we score a great deal come Black Friday, you know, and so we're like thankful, you know, that we got a really good deal. So you express your thanks, you know? Of course, that's not only for what the Lord has done, but really also for what others have done. And really, it's the Lord working through them, right? And you know what I mean. You know, when someone does something to benefit us, we want to be quick to thank them. And that's because thankful people express thanks when good deeds are done. And it doesn't matter if those deeds really benefit us or someone else. I'm thankful for the firefighters, you know, and all those first responders and everyone that's handling the fires that we're experiencing. You know, if we are thankful people, then we're going to acknowledge that, you know. And that's because thankful people express thankfulness in everyday speech. At least that's what God tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4, when Paul writes, "Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Thanksgiving. You know, think about it again. Whenever we communicate, we're expressing something. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what are people hearing when they hear us? Is our speech off color, a little vulgar? Is it foolish, coarse, or is it pleasant and beneficial and thankful? Seems to me that we can spot the thankful people because they are the ones expressing thanks. You know, pretty obvious. Thankful people also know God. Thankful people also know God. Again, back in Psalm 100, this time verse 3, Scripture says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." Now, here in this verse, the psalmist wants us to understand that the Lord is God. In other words, to be convinced that He alone is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And when we really recognize that, then we can rest in His promises and protection and provision, all because we know that they are sure. God keeps His promises. You see, in knowing that God is the God of the universe, and the God of the universe loves and cares for you and me, for me, just make it personal, cares for me, right? Should cause me to be content and to be thankful because God cares about me. And it will show because we'll, you know, go about praising God for all that He is. Think about it again. The thankful are thankful because they recognize that God is responsible for all of their blessings and all of their abilities and all of their protections, and really not themselves. Which means that in order for someone to really be thankful to God, he or she must be humble, because it's not us, but God that is doing it. Continuing in the verse, we see the psalmist drawing attention to God as our creator. And we're not talking about just the creator of the heavens and the earth, but also in knowing that each of us have been wonderfully and carefully woven together in our mother's womb. We are thankful for that. The thankful are people who are joyfully praising God for making them. And, you know, people could say, well, what about someone who is born this way or that way? Still, it's wonderful. God has made us that way. God does not make accidents, okay? And so we give thanks to God that we belong to God, that He has made us, that we are His precious children. And because God has made us, He has given us a divine purpose for which we are thankful. And so we praise Him for including us as workers in His kingdom to help accomplish His holy plans. The thankful know that God is the creator and the provider of all that is good. And so they honor Him and pay Him the respect and reverence that He deserves. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7 remind us, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Overflowing. You see, just like we're told here as Christians, now that we know God, now that we have experienced His love through Christ, now that we've been saved from eternal damnation, we honor Him with lives lived out in thankful service. How could you not be thankful for that? And so not only are we thankful, but it's an overflowing thankfulness, meaning that we're allowing our attitude of thanksgiving to overflow from our lives out into the lives of those that we come into contact with. Thankful people also come to church with the right attitude. Thankful people also come to the church with the right attitude. How do we see that here? Well, I'll show you. Picking up in verse 4 of Psalm 100, we're told to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Can you picture it? Yeah. The thankful are entering into the assembly of God's people. Back then, of course, you know, we're talking about the courts of the temple. Here it's our gathering place, okay? But they're entering, not going, man, I got to go to church again. I'm going to want collection, and I just know that preacher's going to be long-winded and tell some corny joke, you know, or, man, I'm going to have to sit in the back, and I just know it, you know, I can't see over Jessica's head, or something like that. You know, just something to complain about, you know, oh, it's another Sunday. That's not the attitude, right? We come with thanksgiving and praise for what God has done. We're here to worship God, okay? And so how can you and me do the same thing? How can we enter the assembly or the church building for assembling to worship God, giving thanks to him and praising his name, when sometimes we find it hard to get up? Well, think about it this way. If we come to church miserable and disinterested, or, you know, we think that it's just some sort of a chore or a burden or a bother, then there is something at our core that really is wrong. Just flat out say that. And one of the things that we can do, though, to help set ourselves right, and this is something we have to work on, I think everybody really, I mean, I do have some trouble myself with this, is to leave yourself enough time to get up and get here. You say, Chuck, you live across the driveway. Well, it doesn't matter. I get here late sometimes, okay? Because you don't allow enough time. You need to budget some more time. Because when you get somewhere and you're late, you're really not in the best frame of mind. Trust me. Okay? And you know what I'm talking about. You know, when it comes to getting to church, rushing here, trying to find a place to park, to find a place to sit, think, what in the world was that announcement? I don't know. Where is the scripture? What are we doing? You get frazzled, whatever. You need to go to the bathroom all of a sudden because that coffee's kicked in. Anyway, but being here early allows you time to relax and to get situated and to focus, you know? Allows us to fellowship with one another and to get our hearts and minds where they need to be when, you know, we do start singing praises to God and reading scripture and hearing the word, because now our mind isn't so worried on, man, I forgot this. It's, we're here to focus on God, you know. What it all comes down to is this, that, you know, think about it. The assembly is just an hour, maybe two if you come to Bible class, you know. It isn't a whole lot of time, really, in comparison to the entire week. And so we should be thankful for being able to come and to give praise to God for a couple of hours of our time to worship and to praise, because God is pleased with a heart of thanksgiving and praise for his holy name. Thankful people also recognize God's goodness. In the last verse of Psalm 100, we're reminded of this truth that is repeated throughout the scriptures. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You know, some people talk about love, and some people fall in and out of love, but God's love is never ending. It never fails. It's always consistent and at full capacity. That's because God's love isn't contingent on my love for him. Think about that. You can't love God enough for him to love you more. He loves you more no matter what. God is always faithful to us, even when we're not. And so we never have to worry. We never have to worry whether or not God will be there for us. We never have to worry whether or not He can deliver us from trouble or see us through hardships. And we never have to worry if He is going to be able to take care of our needs. God can. And knowing that allows us to be thankful and content. Knowing that changes our attitude and changes our prayers, so that we can pray like Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So, to borrow some bumper sticker theology that really is good, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good, you know? Think about it. When I know God and recognize His goodness and love and faithfulness, I also recognize that I don't have to be anxious about anything. And so when I pray, I'm not going to be all paranoid or panicked or demanding this or that, but be thankful. And so in our prayers, you know, we should be highlighting the Lord's goodness to us. Even if we're in trouble or facing hardship, just think about King David in the Psalms. I know I've said it before, but if you want to improve your prayer life, read the Psalms. But think about King David in the Psalms. You know, many times King Saul chased after David trying to kill him. And many times David was under attack from enemies that surrounded him. And yet he could write Psalms like Psalm 7, 27, 31, 34, and 52. Hike. I know, super. It's Thanksgiving football. But these psalms are listed in your sermon notes to look up later. But those are psalms of petition when David's in trouble. And we see that he can still give thanks to the Lord like Psalm 7:17, where David writes, "I thank the Lord for His justice. I sing praises to the Lord Most High." Even though his enemies are around him, he says, "I sing praises to the Lord Most High." You know, and then you have the Apostle Paul, who preached the gospel under many trials and even severe persecution, reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And if Paul can write that, being shipwrecked, being persecuted, being, you know, stoned, being on the run, whatever, then surely we could give thanks in all circumstances, you know, for that's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And no one is saying that's easy. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the hardest things to do, to praise God when things seem to be falling apart around us. And that's because we somehow think that we should be more thankful when things are going right in our lives. But our thankfulness should not be dependent on how well our life is going. You know, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be thankful when things are going good, but think about that. Does God not deserve our praise and thanks when things are bad? Of course He does. That's what I'm talking about. Our thankfulness should not be dependent upon how well our life is going. Because God is God, and He is deserving of all praise and thanks and glory. Just think about it again. Think about David. Think about Paul. What about Jesus? Being thankful is remembering that God is still good, even though life might stink right now. The thankful know that God is good all the time, because all the time God is good. His love endures forever, and His faithfulness does too. Just one more thing, and I'll admit this isn't in Psalm 100. It's another passage. But thankful people are mindful of others. Thankful people are mindful of others. Over in the first four verses of 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." And so, like Paul, thankful people are people who are mindful and pray for and give thanks for others, especially those who have made a difference in their lives and the lives of others. Thankful people are mindful of others because they care about the needs of others, even the needs of kings and all those in authority. You know, we might not be thankful for how certain officials are running things at various levels of government, no matter who we're talking about, okay? But we still are called to give thanks for the establishment as a whole, okay? Surely we can give thanks for a system that protects our citizens and give thanks for a democratic system where people's voice means something and our vote counts. Of course, one of the ways that the thankful are mindful of others is by giving to those in need. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 11 and 12, we're told that you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. There's that overflowing idea again, you know? And so thankful people are generous people. They see a need and they care about finding a way to meet it, whether it's giving away Thanksgiving baskets or maybe donations to the victims of the fires or helping out those who are still taking care of the fires, you know, whatever it is. Thankful people are grateful for what they've received from God, and they want to show that thankfulness by being a blessing to someone else. And in the process, we show our thanks to God, and in turn, those that we've blessed will thank God. And so our expressions of thankfulness can have that rippling effect to where countless people are blessed and giving thanks to God as the blessings continue, well, as those who are blessed continue to pay it forward. Someone once said that gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all the others. You know, if we said that thankful people are generous people, maybe those people aren't that generous, aren't that thankful. You follow that? You know, the idea being that if I'm going to have things like love and joy and patience and generosity and so on, that it starts with me being thankful to God for all that God is and does. Again, thankful people express their thanksgiving because thankful people know God, and they come to the assembly, to the church, with the right attitude because they recognize God's goodness. And so they are mindful of others and share God's goodness with them, causing them to return thanks to God. And so you can give thanks. You can give thanks. And most importantly, as we've already pointed out, we should be giving thanks for God's promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. And if you're not thankful for that today, then you can be by becoming a Christian. Simply by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in Him, to turn to Him in repentance, confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and committing yourself to Him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, and then rising up out of the water to continue to live your life for Him until Jesus comes back again, or you go to be with Him. And so today, if there's anyone here who needs to come forward and give their lives to Christ, or maybe you want to give thanks for something or someone, well, hey, you could do that, right? Or if there's some other need that we might be able to help out with, as always, you're encouraged to come forward as together we stand and sing.